when love punches you in the face, it breaks all curses.
I mean, that's
so
true words never spoken, Ambassador. Captain's Pod, Stardate 2028-75.1. Welcome aboard the Starship Enterprise, and thank you for joining us on our continuing voyages through the final frontier. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, she wishes John Delancey was her daddy. It's Ambassador Danae.
Was that Spock? It didn't sound like Spock's name.
John Delancey. It's Q.
Wow, that's not true.
John Delancey, that's his name.
I'm saying, like, I wouldn't want that.
You wouldn't want that?
Wouldn't, what was the intro?
You don't want... She wishes John Delancey was her daddy because he was Trelane's daddy last week.
Yeah, but that's not true.
You don't want him to be your daddy? You don't want that?
No.
Wait, no, that's
No.
I did a thing. How are you this week, Ambassador? Maybe I want him to be my daddy.
That's more accurate.
There we go. That's it. He did send me a message one time.
Because someone paid for it on the Cameo?
Fuck you.
I once thought that people might want me to say things on Cameo, so I set up a little profile for myself. But I don't advertise. That's my problem, is I'll do something and then I don't advertise it. I don't say, go check it out.
I also know that that's pre-Captain's Pod. So you should, not that I'm saying your popularity has come from Captain's Pod, but the Captain's Pod listeners may want that as an option.
I figured I'll probably get Babs requests or something, like personal messages from my kooky character Babs that I play.
We should absolutely put that as a Patreon level. FYI. Go to Ian and Danae at patreon.com. That's the plugs done.
There you go.
this week, Ambassador, we again do not have Commodore Dicer. Ironically, we joked about him being stuck in the replicator last week. He actually does have food poisoning this week. So I think I energized some Neelix cheese inside him, and he's now reconstituting himself. In sick bay.
You did that with your mind? Like Q style?
No.
Q is your daddy.
As I tried to pull him out of the replicator.
Oh, I see.
I merged him with some Neelix cheese.
You need to work on this sort of power thing you have going on where you're adding actual real Star Trek elements to your life because you have a replicator now too. So I just when does this stop? What you're going to just be introducing new powers and new powers and new powers.
One of the first things I replicated was earth, wind, fire, and water stones for you from the fifth element.
Dot, dot, dot. Stones.
Are they stones?
In the fifth element?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're the four elements. And then what is the fifth element?
It's her. Leelu
is
the fifth element.
Yeah, that's it.
What is happening?
I haven't seen this movie since I was...
We need to watch it again.
Yeah, we do. Anyway, this is not the fifth element podcast. It could very much be. this week, we are season 3, episode 3, Shuttle 2 Kenfori. Give us some predictions.
A shuttle?
Shuttle 2,
that's
yes.
One of my big predictions for the season is that, I'm hopeful then that my season prediction might be coming true.
Quick recap of Danae's season predictions. Spock's going to be in it. A shuttle will be exploding because of some kind of debris. Potty humor joke. New species, very gilly, probably green.
Why did that get you?
That just got me. Blue twinkly lights, but they can't be stars. Yeah. Do you remember that prediction?
No, I'm waiting for the one that was about the clams. But that was at the episode, though. That was during the episode.
Someone's going to wear a light lavender dress, something about a clam.
I think it was the hair. It really, it was so clammy. And I'm like, that's what I was seeing in my imagination.
I just didn't
realize that it was the... You need to take it off because you agreed.
I haven't ticked it off.
Anyway, we need to. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I hope it's something where, I don't know. There's a certain pacing that this show can do with humor that I really enjoy. And I want to laugh a little bit. You know, there's so much seriousness that can happen in these sort of drama driven. And the Gorn stuff was so serious from the episode 1. And then we had some fun in episode 2, but it was still pretty serious because Spock's heart was being broken.
It was pretty crushing.
It was hard.
For most of it.
Quite a juxtaposition of this weirdly humorous, insane being that's just cuckoo bananas with the soul-crushing reality that Spock is forever alone.
Not forever.
Who does he end up with?
Well, in the Kelvin timeline, which is the J.J. Abrams 3 movies, he's with Uhura for most of those movies. Zoe Saldana, her character, Uhura.
Okay.
They get together, which was... I loved it. But
oh, you did?
Well, yeah, I loved it completely. Some fans did not, but I know it worked great for those.
They don't go to the same websites you do for the fan stuff.
No, they do. They just hide it, and I don't. we're all in the same place.
Okay, so he's with Uhura in the Kelvin timeline.
In the prime timeline.
In the prime timeline.
We do not know.
Yeah, he's totally alone
He actually is alone. Yeah. Because in TNG, when he turns up,
he's
we don't know
alone.
That. Yeah, he's alone. Yeah. He doesn't. Fuck.
It's sad.
Shit.
His marriage is to the ship and to his captains.
Definitely to Kirk.
That's his, like, commitment.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I think that they were hinting at last episode with him, his speech kind of indicating, like, you need someone who's going to be there for you, and I'm going to dedicate my life to my work.
Yeah. Feel you, brother.
So I want something humorous. Like, let's get in the shuttle and go on a fun adventure, like a little vacation or something. But, like, I'm afraid that we're going to end up on some sort of, I don't know, what do they usually do?
They crash on a planet.
Mining meteor. Isn't it true?
Yes.
They do.
It's a research lab or an abandoned mining meteor.
There's going to be like the quintessential shaft that goes from the sky down below. Like, I'm afraid that we're going to be doing that thing instead of something really fun.
So what you want is a Ricer episode. You want a shuttle to Ricer. So it really hinges on what is Kenfori. Is Kenfori Ricer or is it Rurapenthe?
Those are words that you know.
Yeah, they are. Okay, love those predictions. Shuttle, fun adventure, vacation would be a positive. More likely is mining meteor shaft from sky. Love it. Yes. To quickly recap my season predictions, 5 cameos from named characters that we haven't seen yet. I'm 2 for 5. I've just got 3 more to go. There will be a complete Klingon episode, which we haven't had yet.
And the Klingon in this timeline, they're still at war with, yeah?
No, they're now at peace. They've just finished a war a couple of years ago.
And M'Benga was something like that,
right? And M'Benga
was
in that with Chapel, and they had the super soldier serum.
That's right. Yeah.
That was
an episode we watched, right?
Yeah, that was season 2, episode 1, I think, or episode 2. But
why do they like to start off on the serious stuff? My God. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No, but they didn't. That wasn't a full Klingon episode. I'm not allowing that as a full Klingon episode, because it wasn't. So I want 100% Klingon.
Wait, you want 100% Klingon? Like, there's no Spock in it?
Oh, no. There will still be humans, but the A-plot, the main adventure is, this is a Klingon story.
I want Spock.
But it will have Spock, probably breaking a Klingon.
Oh my God, what if we see the Worf origin story?
We already know what that is. Oh,
but we see it.
We're 100 years too early.
God damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
I was just thinking that they would like Alexander Worf.
What, just forget about him completely?
No, they'd put him on screen as like this little dude with the bob.
Oh, right. Sorry. I went for bad parenting and you went for visuals.
Yeah. Like he just runs across the street in his little jumpsuit, his little Alexander jumper.
Why did we not find out you're 180 years old, Worf? What's going on?
Oh, okay. What if this is the shuttle that goes through some timey-wimey-ness, is the Klingon episode, and we get to see the origin story of Worf playing out in front of us, and it's an ally. I mean, like, it could be all
Let's
of it.
Let's do all of it. Finally, we have the answers that literally several people have been asking for.
I hope that doesn't happen. That's way too fan service-y, but go on.
No, that's all my predictions, and I hope it does happen. With that, let's head over to 10 to the holodeck, actually, to watch the episode. We will see you in 10 forward for a full debrief.
As we walk over there, can I just say, like, we have decided to stop doing the sinning section, you know, this season, but I feel like we should start up a section where we just try to write a better episode, because we do that every time anyway.
That basically has become, with the help of the fans, the email section is rewrite this episode so that it's better.
And like, I'm afraid, like, we just came up with a crazy fun idea, and then we're walking in and we're going to watch it and be like, well, that was nothing.
No, that was the most depressing episode we've ever seen.
I hope not. Let's go.
Oh, God. 2 to beam out. Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab something from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode we just watched. Most important question first, what is your thing of choice from the replicator, Ambassador?
I would like to have a little manual. You know, like the manuals you get when you get like a new system or something that has some complexity to it.
Right.
There's like the IKEA version where it's very complicated and it gives you a lot of information. And then there's like the the dumbed down version than they do now, where it's just pictures and then like a QR code you can scan to find out like more later. I would like to have the dumbed down QR version of what the fuck these moss people. I did not understand any of that. So I just want like a little quick, like, explain that again.
So the QR code would just lead to me. It would just be a picture of me saying, hi, I was watching, and this is how, this is how.
I also was watching, a little distracted, but watching.
Yeah. They deliberately did not put much explanation on that. I do agree.
I know that there's moss. I know that there's moss involved.
Because mushrooms had been taken. That's right. Literally the only reason. It couldn't be fungi.
We want it to sound like Last of Us, but it can't be. So mushrooms, moss, you know,
We see you. We see what's happening. Mm-hmm. I would have loved if it was something completely different, just like apples. Like really something really specific. These are zombie apples that are attacking people. Right. So, Ambassador, give us a synopsis.
Oh, okay. In today's episode, we need to save the girlfriend she's a captain.
She's specifically not mentioned as a girlfriend.
She's very powerful.
She's described as my dot, dot, dot.
So the dot, 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 the captain who was gorned up last time, she's not well, you know? She's... Gorning. She's becoming the Gorn. And the only way to save her in all of the universe that we didn't think about before, but we now know, is there's a special flower at a special spot that's in a special area that is especially dangerous. And we can only send a couple people. And there are special circumstances that mean we can't beam and we can't talk, because that is the quintessential outline of a Star Trek episode. I now know this so confidently because I am paying attention.
You've seen enough to know.
Slightly.
you are taking notes.
So Pike and M'Benga, best buds, go on a shuttle mission of secrecy into territory that's a big, fat no-no, and they discover some dangers on multiple levels. And it's kind of like the episode that is going to tell you for sure if he actually, M'Benga, assassinated somebody, but actually also not tell you 100%. It's going to tell you that the captain girlfriend person, Mary Margaret.
You're getting Deborah? There. You're doing great. You're doing worse. You are so Miley. Close. Worse than Barbara. Debbie, you didn't say Barbara. You are so close. Barbara, you are so Missy? Close. Worse.
Misty.
Worse. You are closer with your first ones.
I'm looking at the chat. Mary, stop thank you, looking sir. At the chat.
Damn
thank
it, live chat. I was having so much fun. Marie Battelle.
Marie, not even Mary. It's Marie.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
As in Marie Curie.
That doesn't help.
I don't know.
She is going to be well, but maybe not also well. Still a little bit nebulous on all of that. I don't know what we take away from this, except for that we also are maybe realizing that Ortegas is not, she's not okay.
She's also not well.
And if she were in charge, I think that this episode would have been a lot more fun.
You're right. Well, you're right. It would have been.
I wanted to see her plan so bad.
It was my only nitpick from the end of the briefing was, oh man, they're not doing the plan. I was like, I know they're going to do the plan. I just wish they were doing the plan. So a great synopsis, overall thoughts and feelings, Ambassador, about this episode.
I guess this is doing something interesting. Like, I really wanted this episode to be fun and it wasn't. you know, like it wasn't. So when we were talking before the episode started, I was like, man, I want to see some comedy. Well, I want to laugh. And that is not what happened. It got serious so fast.
It got immediately serious. Your predictions were shuttle, fun adventure, possibly vacation. Yay. but your actual fear was that it was going to be a little bit depressing. And it was not a ricer vacation holiday episode. This was very much it wasn't a shuttle goes down cliche TNG Star Trek episode. The shuttle didn't survive long, but it did make it to the planet, which is a lot longer than it usually survives. But no, this was a very dour, serious episode on multiple levels.
Yeah, it was pretty serious. I think like we're needing to move this like plot line forward about really wrapping up whether M'Benga did something that he's going to get in trouble for, and he's not. Mm-hmm. And they kind of wrapped that whole thing up, and we got to see some Klingons, which you wanted. So it wasn't the Klingon episode that maybe you were wanting, but there were Klingons in it.
No, this counts. I'm taking this as one of my predictions. It's a full Klingon episode. It is about as much Klingon as you can get in an episode. Like, they mentioned discommendation. Like, that's about as Klingon nerdy as you get.
Okay, but like, when you said you wanted a full Klingon episode, I thought it was going to be 90% Klingon and like 10%
No, I mean like TNG era Klingon episodes. Like, this is an episode about Klingons, and you have like the Klingon starship. And it's
okay, you definitely got your wish, because that was definitely it. There were some highlights to this one. It was a very serious episode. Again, we're kind of like figuring out this M'Banga thing, and we're still figuring out like this monster within whatever that, like, is he actually part Gorn and he's done this before and he knows because he took the flower and did the stuff? Who knows? Like, is that the monster within? He like accesses this super,
that would be wild,
super, you know, weapon that he has inside of him. Mm-hmm. And right now he's just like, no, buddy, you get to stay asleep for now.
But it's that super soldier serum thing that is like suppressed, and that's what he gets to bring out.
We also got to see some interesting things, like the battleship. Obviously, you were freaking out.
Oh, it's a beautiful D7 battlecruiser. Good. Night.
The stuff that's in space is so pretty.
It's so pretty, and it's glorious. Like, that looks, it's just incredible. Like, they haven't touched that design really from the motion picture when we first saw it in 1979, Danae. And it's beautiful. And the torpedo came out of the nose, and it was like this physical torpedo that I'm so used to seeing come from the Klingons. It was chef's kiss. Everything in space, stunning, beautiful. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. You were very, very happy about that. And that was interesting. We got to see a wacky mind meld where Spock sort of maybe even became a Gorn.
Yeah. Kind of hacked into the Gorn brain, and the brain kind of hacked back.
He's not quite sure what happened. She's not quite sure what happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when love punches you in the face, it breaks all curses.
I mean, that's
so
trivial words never spoken, Ambassador. Look at that.
So that was interesting, you know. But yeah, I think overall I liked the episode. But here's why. Phaser fire. And what about you, though? Did you like the episode?
That's exactly why I didn't.
Like, oh man, that part was so fun.
That's the only thing I didn't. Are you kidding? The phaser.
I loved
the
it.
The only thing I didn't like.
Watching them blow up. We saw a Klingon crush someone's skull today.
Oh, no, that was great. That was, I mean,
the battle stuff was really fun.
I'm getting really specific. Specifically, I don't like.
There's like the blue line going down and like the red line going. And
there wasn't a line, though. It was like a bullet.
Ball, like a little,
yeah, I
like
don't
a
like that.
Phaser ball.
I
thing,
want the phaser lines.
It was all that was lighting it up. It was so pretty.
I want beams. I want phaser beams, not bullets. I don't want phaser bullets. I'm done with phaser bullets. It's my biggest gripe with the episode, and it won't change.
Okay.
However,
did you like it though?
Bloody love this episode.
Did you?
By all accounts, I should not. Because Star Trek doing zombies on paper, I should be rolling my eyes really hard. And it's also like resolving something that didn't really need to be resolved. I would rather leave the M'Benga thing ambiguous. Like, that's much more interesting to me when we don't know that he did it, even though we know
that
he did
it. We still don't know.
We know.
But
we
don't.
He spelled it out.
No, he... I think they're trying to say that. But he still has plausible deniability.
Well, he does, but he did it. He absolutely did it. But I loved this episode. Like, it's... I don't know if it's just my caveman brain, but it had exactly the B-plot that I wanted. As soon as they left on the shuttle and we had some scenes on the Enterprise, I was like, they're going nose to nose with a Klingon battlecruiser. Like, that is happening. And that's, it's such a T... Go on.
No, you.
It's such a TNG A-plot, B-plot thing. There's an away mission. Riker or Beverly or Data or somebody is left in command of the Enterprise and has to do the thing with the crew while the away mission goes fucking sideways.
Yeah.
It had the perfect Star Trek formula for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the zombies didn't bug me too much because the episode wasn't really about the zombies. The episode was about getting the flower and also about the Klingon that is chasing M'Benga down to reclaim her honor. That's what it's about. The zombies are a bit of window dressing. So I think this wasn't really a zombie episode of Star Trek. This was zombies happened to be the thing in the background. And they made light of it. They made a joke out of it. I kind of dug that. And the action, the best action we've seen in Star Trek. We actually got to see hand-to-hand combat, very little shaky cam. I could see multiple hits. I think the camera stayed still for possibly 3 seconds, and it was glorious. Like, that hand-to-hand fight between M'Benga and the Klingon was day and night from when we saw M'Benga and Chapel fighting when they were super soldiers back in season 2, and we hated that so much because they just spun the camera around, made me feel sick, and it was horrible. But this actually had some beautiful action in it. Maybe because the director, Dan Liu, has directed some Walking Dead. Surprise, surprise. And some other zombie thing. And he's quite a good action director, and he knows zombies.
It did have a lot of really interesting camera angles. Like, if you're just watching this episode standalone and you don't really know anything else going on, it gives you all the clues that you need. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about good TV, is if you're just watching one episode and you kind of like the zombie-esque vibe, this was a really beautiful episode. I mean, it was scary and had horror and gore.
Just a fucking leg pulled up out of nowhere.
Yeah, like, hey,
prop department, we need a leg.
A really realistic looking, like, just the lower half.
Off the bone, please.
Mm-hmm. And then there were zombies that had turned all blue and still had, like, weird eyes. So there was a lot of, you know, scary stuff to look at in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's juxtaposed to just the drama on the ship, which is insubordination.
Which, again, I loved. I bought it.
Yeah, like, I did too.
I really, really loved that insubordination stuff. I think that worked really well.
But I also think, like, the thing that I really enjoyed about the Klingon ship, like, I know that we were kind of just chatting about that, was the size of it.
Being able to see the scale.
Yeah, because there are some images that I've looked at since the show has started that sort of has the ships on a piece of paper and they're all the right,
sized
to each other, and you sort of get a bit of scale for how large they are.
Exactly.
And then I immediately forget that I have seen that picture. So it's just so neat to put it on the screen where they're just flying underneath this massive Klingon ship.
Beautiful.
It's huge.
It's their newest ship. I think it's been around for a few years at this point, but it is like top of the state of the art, top of the notch, whatever.
Yeah, it's fucking top of good. The top of the bat lift.
Yes,
it's,
tip of the bat
lift. The tip of the lift. So they say in Klingon speak. We also we got to see the Klingons talking in Klingon. Mm-hmm. Really cool costuming. This episode has everything. It was just incredibly serious, and I was ready for something a little bit light. But yeah, I think they do a lot of really interesting things in this. I really enjoyed this more than I enjoyed the Gorn stuff.
Oh, completely agree. Yeah, I really, really do. I had a blast, and I could get really nitpicky about the zombies and mm-hmm. Star Trek not needing it, but I think they were used well. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it.
I mean, it could have been an animal, mm-hmm. but how much more complicated is that? Because you'd go full CGI, and we've just had CGI Gorn. So let's say that there was an animal that was left on this planet that the moss hadn't eaten or whatever it's done. I'm still confused on how that happened, but it makes sense that this particular group of scientists would have been absorbed and then just be in this endless hunger, and that they wouldn't be registering as life forms, was just really interesting because they're moss. They're not.
I love it. It's all fauna. Like, you are just, what you're seeing is moss controlling a brain.
You say that, but they said there was no fauna. But they said that there's no flora or fauna.
No, they said there was flora, no fauna.
Oh.
Which is weird. When you have this much flora, there should be some fauna.
There really should.
Yeah.
It's the yin and yang situation of nature.
It really is. But yeah, I love it. Let's do a little bit of scene by scene stuff. Pike arrives with a personal log and finds Patel has passed out. How'd you feel about the Gorn plots not being completely done yet? So we think that she's healed. Surprise, it's come back. It has attacked her even harder. How did you feel about it, Ambassador? I'll tell you my feelings afterwards.
I mean, I'm glad that they're doing it because it seemed like there wasn't really a way to save her in the first place. So it just, they put a Band-Aid on something that was a bad situation. And this episode regularly brings up that reality that she's going to die. This isn't something that's going to end well for her. And M'Benga knew that she was going to be dying. And she specifically said to not tell Pike about it. And, you know, their last sort of hope is to, if I'm understanding correctly, use the components of this flower to merge DNA of both things that are currently trying to take over her body. So she's got the human part of her, and then she's got the Gorn, and she also has super human because she's got the other blood in her.
Yeah, instead of trying to kill the Gorn and take it out, it is give it a home and incorporate it and manage those symptoms as they appear. So I like that, and I agree. It gives some more weight to Battelle survives this.
Yes.
Like, it is, there are consequences to this. You don't just get to walk away from this Gorn infestation thing. Yeah. So I like that. I'm just done with the Gorn, Danae. I'm done. The more it happens, the more I'm done with it. I just don't like them as a series villain. I'm done. Let's move on. Very personal. I'm not going to be objective about that.
I think it's an interesting thing to choose to give her this arc because, you know, maybe it leads to something that they're going to explore, you know, later on about the DNA. I just thought of something. What if, oh my God, what if they're trying to explain the future when the Gorn look more human?
I think that's absolutely, if that's true, my brain just broke.
I mean, just think about it. That is something that they're why are they giving Battelle so much?
What if that's it? Oh my God.
What if she becomes more Gorny and she actually...
What if that's it? No way. I mean, there's no, I mean...
Because this character in all, and this is not meant to be a negative thing about Battelle. I love seeing a powerful woman. We have many of them though on screen that I'm more invested in at this point. We're in season 3. I'm invested in the other, like the characters I already know. And they're giving so much time to this character. And I'm just like,
yeah, where's our crew? Yeah, where is our crew? Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's not anything, but it would be interesting if they're trying to explain something. And this merger of all of it together, like, okay, the human blood couldn't take the Gorn blood. But then when you mix it with, you know, number 2's blood, then you mix in this flour, then all of a sudden it becomes this sort of like species soup that means that she will live, but it doesn't, we don't know what she's going to be.
I'm in a feedback loop now. That's kind of crazy. I don't like it. I now, as much as I've said, I don't like that the Gorn look different, I don't like this explanation for why they don't. This is going back to like they did this with Enterprise. They did this with Enterprise. So it was the reason the Klingons in the original series look like humans is because they got merged with augmented human DNA. So it would be using that exact same logic to explain the Gorn from TOS as well.
Uh-huh.
That's a wild mistake to repeat. if that's true, then it just further compounds the whole Kirk and everybody don't really know what the Gorn are. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that Gorn. It's a fucking human Gorn hybrid.
I know. But then there would be like, I don't know, maybe she goes off and she has like Gorn babies. Maybe like part
but
of
that's
her-
what it would be. It would end up being a subspecies that they should be really fucking familiar with.
But no, not if she's been like in isolation. Not
but it's like 5 years.
Hiding away.
5-6 years from now. That's all the time that's been. Man, that's wild.
What if she dies giving childbirth to the Gorn that Kirk fights?
Well, because then, oh my God. Yeah, because when that Gorn turns up, it would be like, oh, this makes so much sense now. That's what happened to Battelle, and especially Spock. Spock would be like, hey, Pike buddy, got some answers for you.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'm sorry to derail us, but all of a sudden it just kind of came to me that maybe that's a possibility. But like we talked
incredible.
About before we watch the show, we do like making our own episodes as we go along.
It just should be a new segment, yeah.
But the Battelle thing is something that I guess needs to happen. Did I need to go back to it? Like, would I have bought that Battelle would have survived based on what's already happened with her? Yes, because you just buy what you're told. So if they had said last episode, hey, we fed the little Gorn babies, they're living inside of her, everything is A-okay. As long as they're satiated, they're not coming out. And that's just her life is like, you know, every night, you know, if you have a whole bunch of baby goats, you got to go out and feed them. She's just like strapping herself up to some milking machine or something.
Just
like
a metaphor, feeding the Gorn inside you.
But yeah, I mean, I am kind of glad, I guess, that we're going a little bit deeper into it. They didn't spend a ton of time, although the episode is entirely related to her survival,
mm-hmm.
they didn't spend a ton of time like getting too deep into it.
Yeah.
They had to do some things to explain it, but I really feel like they tried to merge the Patel stuff with some Klingon stuff. Yeah. And I didn't mind it too much, because watching M'Benga and Pike, you know, was really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. M'Benga's a really fascinating character to me.
Oh, completely agree. I love the time he got in this episode.
Yeah, like the haunted doctor. He has some incredible lines in this. But
oh, truly great lines.
To go, you know, back into the Patel stuff. Yeah, I think it's like not surprising. And yeah, mm-hmm. we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think as a segue, it works fine. We need to get them to the planet. We need it to be a reason. It can't just be, oh no, Spock stubbed his toe. Why did I pick Spock for such a hard sentence? Spock stubbed his toe. Shit, we have to get this plan from Kinfori. Mm-hmm. I get it. Fine. Get the convenient Chimera plan. All of the... They got through that setup in about 3.5 minutes because it was like, don't look behind the curtain. It's fine. We know this is ridiculous. Let's just go and get the plan. And of course, we haven't... I don't know if the Enterprise... under Pike has ever had an on the books mission. I think so far we're exclusively off the books missions. No mission has ever been on book or an actual task that's been given to them by Starfleet.
So it's
an off the books mission. They fly off, they have a bit of what's his name, and M'Benga and Pike have a bit of banter on the shuttle. They conveniently only have to go to a research facility.
Instead of the mining facility.
Instead of the mining facility. You predicted mines, and then M'Benga's like, there should be mines all around here. I was like, technically, you got another prediction, right?
Technically.
Wrong type of mine.
If we're doing the clam hair, we're doing the mines.
Yeah, we are. And then kind of the next action that happens is really, they get to the facility, they find that the researchers have been researching some stuff with this special plan. There are mask protocols in place. Oh, this was just really buggy. Why didn't you put the fucking masks on to begin with?
I think that's
why. Why are you waiting until he's on top of the plant before you say, hey, buddy, mask up?
It's wild how much you see in content that these are things that should have been discussed on the ride.
You should be in space suits. You're on it. You should be in quarantine suits. And M'Benga chooses that moment to say, by the way, if you touch this thing, it's highly fucking toxic. Like, the exposition happening in the moment
is
just such a huge... Yeah. It happens so much.
It really, really should have, yeah.
Instead of talking about cigars in the shuttle, do you want to maybe give him a heads up that he shouldn't touch the poison ivy?
Yeah.
But yes, they...
And it's a bandana. Like...
I thought it was a bandana.
Maybe it's a special bandana?
It is, of course. Okay. Yeah, I think it's just really flexible and meant to like form to your face. But it looked like you were just bringing out a bandana.
I kind of love the idea that one of the things you get to do when you join the Starship is you get to pick out the pattern for your special face bandana.
Yeah, you do. Here you go.
Like, okay, so M'Benga has chose this interesting reddish kind of black colored one with some like symbolism on there. And then I'm just going to go with like a flower pattern or something.
Yes.
And everyone has their own little special thing. It's not an issued bandana. It's the only bit of personality you get to have because everyone's in uniform. And the only thing that different, like makes you different from the person beside you is if they're in a different like group, like they're an engineer and you're not or something. And then just your face.
Do you know what Spock's would be?
Oh, let me guess. Spock's would be the tingly ting ting bells.
Which bell? Wait, from Arena? Yeah, from not Arena.
Yeah.
A Mock Time.
Yeah.
Those. You are incorrect.
Oh, okay.
It would be an exact photorealistic view of his face that the mask is covering.
Of course.
That's what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like with a beard.
Yeah, with a goatee, with the evil goatee. Yes, I love it. One thing I did skip is that when they approach the planet, there is a Klingon radiation warning, which basically means go away or die. And they ignore that and still choose to not mask up until they get down to the planet.
Wild. It does. Pike says something on the way in. Let's see. What does he say? It really, really annoyed me.
The fourth marriage doesn't count. It was annulled.
So,
oh no, that was M'Benga.
M'Benga says radiation, go back or die. And then like, why leave this warning beacon here? And Pike says, it doesn't matter. Going back is not an option. Yeah, it is.
But
it is an option.
But
it
also,
just means that Batel is going to be sacrificed instead of the two of you.
It's anyway, also not a really zero sum game. It's not continue or go back. It is continue with caution in quarantine suits. You have the technology.
Put on a radiation coat. Like, just It's wild. Just don't go in bare-skinned.
It's wild. It always reminds me, there's an episode in TNG, I can't remember which one it is, but it might be the best of both worlds. The away team goes down to the planet, and Worf pulls out his tricorder and says, the air appears to be breathable. Too fucking late now, Worf! Just incredible. Just amazing.
I did think, though, and I was wrong, and I think I said this when we were watching it, that I thought they were going to be saving Klingons. I thought that
that would have been a cool twist.
The old beacon and this warning, maybe they would land there and find some Klingons that had found their way to this abandoned research station and they were going to rescue. And that would be some sort of a unifying feel. But it turns out that they're going to unify in a totally different way.
Yeah, there was some unification that happened.
Through a battle and a self-sacrifice. I was totally wrong, but I love being surprised like that. I really do.
I feel like M'Benga would have given M'Benga some humanity and with the Klingons if they'd have been given an option to like rescue them. So I could have seen it going that way, but they wanted to tie up this loose end. They really did. So Klingons arrive on the planet. It made me so happy. Like, the gold uniform for me makes so much sense because it's a nice nod to the original series where the Klingons were wrapped in gold foil.
Oh.
That was their uniform. So the reason why these don't look like TNG Klingons is because they wanted to incorporate the gold. So I think the compromise between keeping it TOS and keeping it, we don't have to dress like we're in the 60s anymore, absolutely. That really, really worked for me. I love seeing them. I love their disruptors. They're absolutely stunning.
Oh, man, the way that they blow stuff up, how it just sort of like splurts.
Love it. But I mean,
it's like a lava spray or something. Just, it was so cool.
And there's no blood left because the blood has dried up. So I'm guessing that's why there was no blood. But we just got some really great glory shots of the camera really focusing on the detail of this Klingon disruptor. And it's not just like a generic shooty-shooty thing.
It disrupts.
It's a prop. It's a prop that I want. Like, it's beautiful. It's really, 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 really good prop work.
We also, besides just that, we also get to see, like, skeletal remains of a Klingon. We get to see the ridges on their bone structure.
Love that.
Which is really interesting. And, of course, this idea that, like, there's something that's killing them, you know, there's something that's taking them out. And the rib cage has been broken open. So they're setting the stage for whatever is going to be hunting them. But it starts off with this sort of like horror version of finding a Klingon skeleton. I thought that was really, really neat.
It hits all of the zombie tropes. It hits all of like the build up to, oh, what killed this thing? Oh, there's no life forms down here. How did this happen? But it doesn't like kind of, it doesn't, it kind of uses them well. It kind of uses them just to get to where we're going. Like, I didn't feel bored or like, ugh, I've seen this all before. It was really exciting. It's not long before the zombies actually turn up. The Klingons, they're having a firefight down the hallway, which I hate because fucking give me some phaser beams instead of bullets for crying out loud. Just blah, blah, but it's fine.
I loved it.
We just gloss over that M'Benga decides to stand up. Why did he do that? Was because the Klingons had stopped firing and then he just told the war veteran chooses to stand up in the wide open. And then cliche. Gets blindsided.
Cliche.
That goes badly, but it's fine because the zombies are going to attack and eat everybody. This type of zombie, did you like them? Because there are brands of zombies. There are flavors of zombies.
Okay, let's talk about the flavor of zombies so I know what I'm comparing myself to or comparing my desires to.
So we've got your standard zombies that are like, brains, and like stumble and like limp along. These are the Walking Dead zombies that are just like, if they smell you, then they're going to come after you, but they're very slow. Then you have like World War Z and Last of Us zombies that are sprint zombies, pile up on top of each other, mindless, but will like squeeze themselves through a chain link fence to get to you.
Okay.
Terrifying, fast zombies.
And there's two strong varieties.
Yeah. In my opinion, there are. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely preferred these because it pushes the tension really well, which makes it feel like the episode is skipping through rather than dragging on. There's nothing more boring than watching someone run away from a zombie that's only going, you know, 2 centimeters a minute or something like that.
I can make an argument for them. I personally, when they like, the second time they attack and they are piling on top of each other through the window, I thought that was so scary. I love that. The fact that they're just like stumbling over each other. Immediately there's 15 piled on top of each other. That's some scary shit.
Flyboy mentions a sentient zombies from iZombie. So that's interesting.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
I, I just find myself just now realizing, though, that I feel like I accept these zombies because of Last of Us, where I feel like, oh, I understand. Mm. They're just like a mushroom person, and so they're driven by
that
this.
Yeah, you know? I guess that makes sense. That does a lot of work, doesn't it?
And I, you know, think mushrooms are this untapped alien on our planet already.
Yes.
Whereas moss, I feel, is just like grass. Yeah. And so if you're listening, moss, I don't mean to offend you.
Thank you for giving me something else to fear in the house.
So let's talk about this now. So is the idea then that something was aerated, spores-esque-like, and then they became hunger moss?
So
am I understanding that?
They were experimenting with the chimera plant, and the idea was to use that to make an infinite food source. So you could feed, Pike says, you could feed so many Federation colonists with that.
Right.
The Klingons attack while they're in the middle of some kind of research.
Okay.
Something gets out that shouldn't get out. The moss mutates and starts eating people and becoming a parasite, was my understanding of how it happened.
Okay.
So the scientists weren't being reckless. The interference through the Klingons attacking is what caused shit to go really sideways with the experiment.
Okay. Well, I guess leave it to the Federation to blame the Klingons.
Yeah, right? Like, that seems like propaganda to me, Pike.
So something chimera cliche, Sarah mentions in the chat. That sounds about it. So yeah,
not the first time we've heard of a chimera virus.
It was sort of just an accidental evolution of the moss that then ate them, and then they have eternal hunger.
Yeah, they lay dormant until some other stimulus came along.
Okay.
Like the plot.
Very Last of Us then.
It's extremely Last of Us, yeah. I kind of want to... It kind of links into Pike saying, zombies, and Benga's like, don't use that. I was like, zombies.
Sounds like the Z word to me.
Did that work for you? Did you like that?
Yeah,
other than them saying, hey, do you remember The Last of Us that was out in like 2000?
Do you
remember
2000, that show?
This 2020 show that was pretty cool?
Yeah. So because we have, and sorry to pause. I'm just trying to figure out how to gather my words here. But them alone in this place without Klingon presence means that they would be using their experience to figure out how to use the old ventilation system to release some sort of a thing and end this endless hunger situation happening here. Like, they would have to come up with a solution, but truly they should be dead. You know, there's the only reason that they're alive is that the Klingons were hunting them and they just happened to be, you know, in the right place at the right time in a wrong situation.
Yes, exactly. You know?
Because the non-zombies they broke through what I assume to be a very strong plate window. And then the only thing between them and the zombies for a little bit was just some metal mesh as they got into the like thing. So to me, I'm watching it just going, I'm not really invested because they're not going to kill these two characters. So we know they're going to get out. And I just,
oh, of course.
You know, so that's what hung lower for me was, and not in like the fruit is low way. Like, it just sort of was like, I checked out a bit.
The bare minimum was done with the zombie part. And I think that's what I'm seeing as a positive, because it was just used as a bit of a threat. We didn't spend too much time with it. So I think that ended up working for me because I don't know how they would actually do a zombie episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Lower Decks has already done it, kind of. But I can see what you mean about it being very surface level.
There's an element that you just kind of check out. Like, last week I checked out when I felt like Spock was in a dream, and then none of that episode matters, whereas this, nothing matters. So they very cleverly bring back in this Klingon moment, which I am a bit invested in because they're a unique race. This is an interesting time in history where there's more tension. M'Benga obviously has
I want more Klingon.
A lot more like war trauma going on.
Yeah.
And I'm really fascinated by the Klingons' honor culture.
Yes.
It's part of what I like the most about some of the Lower Decks episodes that we watched, you know, where they're like kind of getting more into that.
Oh, man. We need to do a TNG Klingon honor series. You'll love the shit out of that. I love that they didn't reinvent something either. They used a very familiar Klingon on a system in this episode as well, which is very satisfying. We will get to that eventually.
Yeah. So the only reason that the zombie stuff works is it's a tension builder, and it's like moving the plot very quickly to where it needs to be. Like, how do we isolate our main characters with this Avenger Klingon that's, you know, wants to confront them in an arena type vibe, you know? And
but it could have been bats.
It could have been anything. It could have been they fell in a hole, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many things. And instead, they're like, hey, we're going to hire a bunch of fucking extras because we haven't done full zombies in Star Trek, so let's fucking go. And
yeah,
you know what?
There was a lot of play. I love that.
I kind of like to see the writers play. I mean...
And you got the right man to do it. You got somebody with zombie experience.
When you've written so much and you're just kind of like putting things out there, you're going to try to hit some big themes to see if new people would come in and be like, hey, you want to try out our sci-fi show? And so I'm not going to be mad that they're going to throw some zombies out because there's some body gore going on here. There's some...
That curb stomp.
It was like a melon,
in the
man.
The head was beautiful. Holy shit. Like, fuck me. Is that Star Trek? Let's go.
Like, that was juicy.
So
And
good.
It was right there. And they didn't shy away from it. You watched... The whole thing happened.
Streaming, let's go, baby.
It was very real, and it was her, and it just built
very
this,
Klingon. That's how Klingons deal with zombies.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, like, this is a badass warrior. So that builds even more into this fight coming up with M'Benga. But the zombies are just the driver for it, and I'm glad that they weren't the focus. I'll say that.
So I think we're on the same page.
I think it worked for me because I understand why they did what they did. And it looked really cool. I mean,
they were great.
They were really interesting to look at.
Zombie Klingons, I'm sold. Like, they did, the makeup was great. Like, I think they took the right elements from The Last of Us and The Walking Dead and plunked them into Star Trek. But I was going to moan. I wrote a little moan down, which was, we already have zombies. It's the Borg. Like, if you think about it, the Borg are these generally slow-moving creatures. They turn you into a Borg.
They're a great allegory for zombies.
We already have them. So what I like is Star Trek taking a pop culture thing like that and giving it a Star Trek spin. So you don't really call the Borg zombies, but it's what they are.
Yeah.
So when you go and actually literally bring zombies in, I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm okay with it. I don't know. I'm not sure I can explain it, but I think it's because this isn't like an ongoing threat. This was very much a novel experience. I think one and done is the right way to do it.
I mean, there is something to be said about just nuking this planet.
just in case. Yeah. Genesis wave that planet immediately. Oh, no, that sounds like a horrible idea. We'd get more zombies. Delete that. Computer delete log. So I guess the next bit is that they have a revelation, or Pike has a revelation, that the reason M'Benga and Spock were going to come on this away mission is because they've discussed how this Chimera plant is going to affect Batel.
Yeah.
And it's because they're going to merge the DNA together. And Pike's very taking issue with that. How did that scene and that exchange hit you?
I think it's a needed moment to show that Pike feels like he is at a level with her that he should know these things before the doctor does. And I love that it, in an interesting way, it brings me great joy to see part of a plot that a woman can talk to her doctor in private and it's
right.
No one's business.
Kind of loved that.
Kind of loved
that allegory.
And I don't mean to make everything like, but as a woman, it just, I'm like, oh, I like that. Why do I like that? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when there's like a love interest, it's everything that you are becomes the other person's. And there is a value in still maintaining your own independence and talking about your options as an individual and having a right to make those choices. So it very much gave the vibe of, yeah, they're together, but they ain't together like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was important. I kind of checked out a little bit because they have the conversation again at the end, and I don't know how much it really needed to be hit on, except for maybe people who really need to be reminded that women can make their own choices.
And flip it. Like, if it's Pike, there's no way he's telling Batel. There's no way that he is giving her what he's demanding. Mm-hmm. He is protecting her, and he is making this choice on his own. He's probably going on the fucking away mission himself with a Gorn inside his body. So I actually did like seeing Pike get spicy. I like seeing him get worked up and get really pissed at M'Benga. It's a very, I think his reaction is very human. Mm-hmm. And I really like how the show dealt with it as well. I really do like
it. I think it's fine. I think it's needed. And I think that us knowing that Pike cares for Battelle is still an important, you know, part of his story, an important part of what the show is trying to do. Yep. They obviously don't want to kill her quick, or they would have. So, you know, giving her a fighting chance, I still ask myself, okay, why? What does she become? What sort of, are they going to study her DNA to be able to help with the future Gorn attack or something, you know? And so her right to try, or her right to die, is a really sensitive topic. And it's something that I think they need to touch on, because they're trying to be a realistic show in a show that just showed us zombies and Klingons. But there's still just, there's threads of life that can hit hard on some of these kinds of platforms. And Star Trek doesn't seem to shy away from reminding us that it's willing to have those. I mean, it's an entertainment show and it's meant to kind of like give you an escape. But every once in a while, it's going to remind you about some things that are really like deep for you individually. And so M'Benga has had some with his kid, like losing his child. And, you know, there's just these themes that are sort of they're the narrative of all that we consume as humans on this planet, still dreaming about what some sort of interesting future could look like where there's interspecies dialogue. But at the heart of it, we're still humans watching a human entertainment telling human stories. And I think that was an interesting one. Yeah.
If we're not doing that, then why are we telling stories? Why are we doing it? So yeah, I completely agree with that.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Speaking of M'Benga, we then dive into, what was her name? Bytha. After all of her companions are conveniently killed, she fucking stabs Pike in the leg.
I loved that.
Love that so much. Wound him. Wound him so that he can't interfere. It's such a Klingon thing to do, other than just straight up killing him, which I guess would be dishonorable. I don't fucking know. But yeah, stab him in the leg. It is revealed that Bytha is the daughter of Dakra, who was a Klingon defector, who was an absolute war criminal bastard during the Klingon War, but ended up becoming a defector, an advocate for peace, to join Starfleet and help them in negotiations and whatnot. And very quick recap, during that episode Under the Cloak of War, M'Benga and Dakra get into a bit of a kerfuffle, and it is left ambiguous as to whether M'Benga killed him in self-defense or straight up killed the man and instigated the fight to begin with. Question mark, question mark. But yeah, what I love about this, a twist I should have seen coming, but I did not, was that Bytha wasn't there to avenge her father. It was like, you bastard, you did it before I could. Love that. Completely, yeah. He brought dishonor to my family. Yeah. My generations ahead of me have no honor.
Yes.
Let's go. I'm going to kill you for Robert. That's the most Klingon thing I can think of. Like, I'm not avenging him. You bastard. I was supposed to do it. So
without hitting it too much over the head, the Klingon stuff is so delightful and delicious. As we're talking about a moment ago, like, for example, when they get into the battle part of it and they have that like leather strap between them.
Yes.
And there's just this symbolism of, this has my family's bloodline on it.
Love
and
it.
It's going to bind us until us it has the Avenger or something. What do they say? I can't remember.
Until one of our blood is one of, the Avengers' blood is on here or something like that.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
I was like, make out. Go on. Like, get together, guys. You're made for each other.
The blood of the vanquished.
The blood of the vanquished. Yeah,
stained with the blood of the vanquished. And this is after M'Benga has his fantastic line about the monster within him being satiated. Did you have that written
down? Yeah, this is one of my favorite lines.
Because it's right after he admits it's an assassination.
He admits that he assassinated. He had the option of subduing him and said, this guy gave me a mass murderer gave me the opportunity to kill him, and I absolutely took it.
He said it was a justice.
It was a justice. I lied to protect the monster inside of me should the day come when he is needed again. Oh, I love how that is phrased.
And she's like, pick up a blade and face me. And I'm just like, oh, man. And then this like thing goes between them and the barrier is up with like all the zombies around. And I am thinking to myself, like, we are going to see somebody die right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like waiting for the monster to come out and thinking that it already had, because Mbenga gets sliced a bit and you sort of see him look at his wound and like you're hearing kind of like the kind of sound in your mind where, you know, the person starts to go a little bit cuckoo. But no, he says later that, I don't need the monster right now.
Yep, I didn't even bring him out. It's kind of shitty because it's like, I didn't even take it up to 100%. For me, it was a Tuesday. Like, I didn't even try to hurt you.
Yeah.
But that line and that setup gave me, I just popped into my head. There's an episode where Picard is facing off. I think it's against Tomalak. I'm pretty sure it's a Romulan. And he's like, if this is where we fight, my crew are ready to die. The question you need to ask yourself is, are you ready to die today? Mm. And then kicks off the battle and let's go. And it's like that banter between the Klingon and Mbenga was chef's kiss. Love it. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch them speak in Klingon. It was fun to watch this person explain and then shift into looking around and thinking, I would rather find my honor in a new way than fight my way out with these people.
Yes, exactly.
Because this is the part that I'm thankful that the writers find a way to remind us that Klingons are so different than we are.
Yes.
You know, that the word honor and how they honor each other and their traditions and everything is so intense that in my head, it's like, oh, Mbenga stopped himself from killing her. She's either going to attack him again and...
Which would be dishonorable.
But then that would be dishonorable. And instead she's like, well, fuck, that's over. What are my next options? And she's calculating, you know? And she's just looking around going, yep, I'm going to die by a zombie because then at least I know I died honorably.
Yeah, I'm taking the high road. I died in battle. Like the bare minimum you want as a Klingon is dying in battle. That's it.
And
so bring out the fucking metal whip that looks like I'm pretty sure is a spinal column that she's encased in metal. And what a metal Klingon way to go. It's so, and Mbenga's respect for that as well. Pike's like, yeah, no one's going to know. Who fucking cares? And Mbenga's just like, she knows. I know. Stovalkor will find you. Like, go and enjoy Stovalkor and go live your life in Valhalla.
Yeah.
Love it.
It was a really interesting sort of scene.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, the action.
Choke on me, you filthy toads, she says.
Great choke on me because she knows she's going to get eaten. Oh.
Yeah.
So good.
Yep.
Yeah, I love all of that. As, obviously, I had to give a recap. As the scene was playing out, did you remember that? Because it is a callback to an episode that's now 2 years behind us, I think. Did that lose any impact? Like, without me explaining it, did they do enough, basically, to fill in the gaps and remind you of what was happening?
I didn't really need it because I had totally forgotten. The previously on section shows us some of that scene.
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
And I have no memory of this place. Like, so I'm like, okay, I guess that happened. I even wondered if I maybe missed that episode somehow. Maybe somebody was guesting that week and I didn't watch the episode because I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of doesn't matter, as I said earlier, when the writers can do a standalone episode that is still tied into the greater lore, but can also stand alone. So with the context clues, I easily picked it up. And again, I really like that it's not about like, oh, you killed my father, I've come for revenge, you know, prepare to die, Inigo Montoya style. This is like, you have stolen my honor and I'm going to take it back from you in blood.
My name is Bytha.
And
you killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yes. But because I need the honor, I need the blood that's inside of you that is flowing, you know, and Mbenga's so annoyed.
Yeah.
It's just like, really? That's so stupid.
Yeah. Come on.
So, yeah.
No, I love the way they handled it. And the mention of discommendation. So this is what Worf goes through in TNG for various reasons that we will get to in the future.
Interesting.
So an actual a callback to a Klingon process, a Klingon tradition that your Trek nerds are going to be very familiar with, and seeing it in action again. It was great. Instead of like coming up with something completely new, it's this thing we're very familiar with and just like more embedding of Klingon lore. I love it. Love that so much. Well, that happens. They get beamed up. So let's get back to the Enterprise, where basically Ortegas is getting very, very spicy.
Yeah.
She has a hunch and detects the Klingon battle cruiser. Creates a bit of a meeting where they have to decide, do we snail crawl to rescue them because they've missed the rendezvous and take 4 to 6 hours, or Ortegas's bonkers plan supported and endorsed by Montgomery Scott, and number one chooses to take the safer route. How did you like Ortegas speaking up, getting very belligerent and disobey-y?
I forgot you are supposed to talk nice and in order, because until they started being like, "Whoa, she was a little hit to hot, wasn't she?" I was like, "Wait, was she?" Because I think I kind of forgot how those conversations are supposed to go.
You've been watching Lower Decks and Deep Space Nine too much.
A little too much, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because the sassy sort of approach or the directness, for me, it's like I like being able to listen to someone's passionate disapproval of someone else and kind of go, that's just how they communicate. And you know, like, so it didn't really faze me too much. She was annoyed that her way wasn't the way that was chosen. And, you know, asking her to lie in that kind of subtle way was a bit much, you know, that bothered me more than anything.
That was a bit lashy outy, and it doesn't really get addressed later on either.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want blind acceptance on a crew when you're all coming up with your different ideas.
So to answer the question, I loved it because I needed to be reminded about how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely agree. Because
we
see this in TNG a lot. And like, if you're going to do that, you take it off the bridge. And especially when they're on the bridge. And Una's like, you thought on the bridge while I'm giving orders was the best time.
Well, like later,
to talk to me about that?
In the ready room? No. In the conference room?
Ready? No.
No.
No. The conference room.
But it's not that.
It is a conference room. Damn it. Stop saying words. Stop saying words.
The room.
Stop saying words.
The computer room.
Observation lounge.
That's right. No, that wasn't the observation lounge. Isn't that like where you like sit and like you sort of like drink a cocktail and you lounge?
No, that's 10 forward.
Fucking, there is no 10 forward.
I mean, on the Enterprise, it's 10
forward. There is no 10 forward. That's a lie. And now I need a minute. I'm going to need a break. Just give me a second. Thank you.
Battle stations, red alert.
So what's it called again?
It's a briefing room.
The briefing room. Thank you, JCD. God damn. So if they didn't do that, I think I would have forgotten how it is supposed to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the chain of command.
Yeah.
It's the chain that I beat you with until you follow my command.
Well, I think it's an interesting part of... So okay. Sorry, I'm kind of like in a lot of places, but on a show like this, we get to see them in all these different places of the ship, and in different places and at different times, they're going to interact with each other in different ways. And so, like, last episode, it was we're all getting married and celebrating in this delusion. And so there wasn't really rank and command. And the one before that, it's like we're in the middle of a battle and everyone's definitely trying to survive. So they're all locked in. This one all of a sudden reminds us that when these things kind of happen, like, we're going to go, how are we going to go rescue our guys? Everybody put your, you know, ideas into the middle. I forgot that there might be a better way to do it. That scene in the ready room or wherever they were was like a good slap in the face. Like, welcome back to work, Danae. You
know? Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you can't talk like
works.
That or whatever.
This is the military. Their exploration, but it follows the military rules.
Then her on the bridge was another moment where, and maybe I've been watching too much Janeway or something. There's just like, everybody has a different vibe. And so someone turning around and being like, but Captain, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, well, she's not wrong.
No, she's not wrong. Yeah. And I think Tom would say that to Harry. Chakotay is always back-chatting to Janeway.
So,
but Picard, there is much more. I cannot imagine either of the people in those front two seats, Geordi, Data, whoever else happens to be there, turning around and saying that to Picard. I don't think it happens once. Wesley does and gets like beaten for it.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, I need to kind of go back to the Picard days and sort of remember like what it is. But when she flips around and Ortegas flips around and she's like really going at, you know, going at it, part of me respects it. Part of me respects that if you don't say it now, you can't live with yourself.
And yeah, you're gonna get it out there. Yeah.
Your rank at risk so that you can be heard. But then the twist of her fucking with the impulse too.
Did you
purposefully
catch it?
No, I didn't catch
caught it
that.
Immediately. I saw that, and this is why I'm such a fucking nerd. I caught that pinky. I was like, she fucked it as soon as like the little pinky happened, and there was a twitch in her eye as well. And then it said the Klingons have activated scanners. I was like, you fucking did it. You accelerated. You nudged it.
Oh man, that's
loved
so
it.
Fun.
Yes. Sorry. Well, Wandering just said I caught it too. I could see it and hear it. I was like, yes, I know
so
my
cool.
ship.
I love that they. Or do that's the super fan shit the show
that's
does.
Great.
That's
that little pinky
really respected, right?
That little pinky didn't slip. You set that up. That was great.
And then she owns up to it, which I respect.
Yeah, 100%.
But you know, this is a woman, and again, they've done a great job letting us set the stage last episode of knowing that she is going through some fucking trauma.
Yeah.
And then in that ready room between Una.
Una, yep.
And.
Ortegas.
Or La'an.
Oh, La'an, yeah.
When they're just two commanding officers going, something's off. You know, I appreciated that because it reminds you that they do care about each other. But then I love that Una didn't let it slip, honestly. I think it's a really important part of watching how they've already done something they should not be doing. They're breaking protocol and going someplace they should not be going. And that bothers me a bit.
actually, I kind of wonder. It couldn't go on her permanent record because it's an off-the-books mission.
So right?
Like, how are you punishing her exactly? Because this mission didn't happen.
I do wonder about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But she accepts it. She, you know, Ortegas is like, okay, I got caught. I'm doing this thing. She still got her way. They got the people back right on time. So she's not really wrong. But yeah, it was good. I liked.
Well, and then
I like what they did there.
The kicker is that they were going to use the Klingon shuttle to get back, which Ortegas couldn't have possibly known. So it's a little bit shitty to bring that up. But Una makes a point. That's not your call. You're not the captain. Even if I'm wrong, that's on me. And I live with that because the 1% of the time when you're right, 99% of the time I should be right because I've got more experience. I'm collecting all of the ideas. I'm not biased. Yeah, you got lucky this time, but odds are that shouldn't have worked. So I really love how they got around that and resolved it.
Yep. And I think it's an interesting part that they're doing in this new season where Ortegas is like, I liked seeing her fly the ship and, you know, jump in and out and do the things that she likes to do. And she obviously, her warping away right before the weapon hit the ass end of their ship was really
that.
Fun, you know. So she had a lot of, Ortegas had a lot of wins in this episode that were fun to watch. And watching her get hand slapped was kind of like, I don't know if that stung as hard as it should have.
Yeah.
But we'll see sort of, you know, what happens.
It's a pretty big one. Mm-hmm. But the plus side is that we got some stunning visuals.
Really did.
As soon as they explained the plan, it was like, let's go to warp inside the atmosphere. And I'm like, I love it. We've done it before. Like in Deep Space Nine, they talk about how dangerous, I can't remember what episode it is, but they talk about how dangerous it is to go to warp in the same star system. Like, warp is meant to be interstellar, like between stars, not interplanetary. So it's super dangerous to do that, let alone doing it inside of an atmosphere. I think there's even an episode where they're like, if we do that, we're going to detonate the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So lots and lots of risk, but I love it because the Enterprise with the shields glowing into orbit.
So pretty. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, warp drill, I love it. My nitpick is that they were in warp for a very, very long time.
Okay. Like, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Talking about light seconds of speed, like I feel like they were in warp for too long. Like it should have been
and
like we're going to warp, boom, boom, just you
so,
arrive.
Let me just like ask this: you know, like some kind of movies or shows or whatever, someone goes underwater and you just instinctively hold your breath at the same time. Do you do that with warp, where you just start to go 1, 2, 3, and then if it goes too long, like you know,
when you're telling me that you're gonna. When you're going to warp into, you're going to go faster than the speed of light into the same solar system. Yeah, I'm counting the seconds. Yeah.
I'm I wanted to see Ortega's version of that, like warping down and then warping out. I wanted to see that. I'm glad that they didn't do it. And I think it's such an interesting way of...
Well, we did though.
Did they do that?
That was the plan, yeah.
Okay. Because I couldn't tell if we went to that plan or we went to a different plan.
No, we did that plan. It was... Kazuna so was like, it. Okay, you're up, Ortega's. Like, we're doing your plan.
So she when they said you're up, it. I yeah. thought that there was like... get us out of here.
No, this was do your planet because Scotty is ready to do the transporting as soon as he's out of warp.
And that's why he was floating is because they were warping?
Because they were in the lower atmosphere and the systems were going haywire and it's fun to see people float.
Yeah, okay.
You got to use those rigs while you've still got them.
Yeah. I didn't understand a word Scotty said, by the way.
I struggled
in this.
That's
all I have to say about Scotty in this episode.
it was something, oh, you volunteered for this, laddie. Now you've got to deliver it.
I didn't
something
I didn't
terrible
hear
in Scottish.
Anything he had. And I'm so sorry. I wish I did.
He needs subtitles.
The only thing I think we haven't talked about, if you're ready to move on.
Yes.
Is the Spock mind meld thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
So it was, but the chat did say something, and I'm going to try to find it while I'm chatting, but the chat did say something that I had a question about. Besides it being kind of scary, looking with the Gorn like kind of coming through the body or like trying to break through. Yes. I thought that visually it looked cool. And then he starts screaming because he was in a lot of pain, which is
sharing
was really intense. Mm-hmm. But CMDR Smith says the mind meld shouldn't have given him infrared vision. That's a physical change. So is that like part of the canon of the mind meld that it kind of like merges memories and emotions and sort of, because he went in thinking he was going to essentially assist her to learn how to manage the pain.
Yeah.
I thought. And then he like inadvertently just took on the pain.
Well, no, I think he was supposed to take on some of the pain because the mind meld words, let's get super nerdy now, is my mind to your mind. Shit. Now I can't remember the words. Our minds are one, whatever it is. So our minds become one. So it is a literally merging of minds. So Vulcans are very, very good at pain management. So he is trying to give that to her. And instead of saying, this is how you do it, I'm going to mind meld and just give it to you.
Okay.
But you're now opening some floodgates, which allows things to flush into Spock as well. So it's just as risky for the Vulcan doing it. So yeah, he got some Gorn in him. Not permanently, but just experientially.
Okay. So the infrared thing, is that just sort of a hallucination, we think?
Yeah, I think it's a shared mindscape and it's his brain's way of interpreting the signals that are being sent to him. There is a Gorn bios, there is a Gorn mind life form that is interacting with the mind meld as well, because it's so entwined with Patel. It was my interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. There's chat that this means that we're definitely not done with the Gorn stuff.
I can see it being some kind of infection that Spock now has. Yeah.
Ew, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I don't like that either. But I because do like that we know Spock survives.
Well, that would literally mean anyone he mind melds with, if they have a cold, he gets the cold.
No, not exactly. This is a bit special. This is a bit unique. I mean, if Star Trek wanted to do that, they would do it. Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I'm sure there are mind meld STDs or STIs that travel around.
Sarah says that there was something special in the meld to mind your mind one breath between us. So maybe there was a little extra heat on that mind meld, a little extra spice.
Yeah, or maybe it was the opposite. Maybe it was more channeled. Maybe it was more specific to pain management instead of I'm going to read all of your thoughts and whatnot.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. I do like seeing Vulcan shit. That was fun.
Yeah, he punched that nurse across the room. It was like, I sometimes forget you have super strength.
At the risk of making everyone who listens to this feel uncomfortable, and I do hope that I can get over my obsession with Spock soon.
No.
Because it is a little distracting, and but I'm going to say this. I was jealous of the way he touched her face.
I'm glad you said that, because I just talked about the nurse getting punched across the room, and I thought that's where you were going. I wish he would punch me.
No.
So that's much better.
No,
Patel is
I wanna
a much
do
better
that.
Route.
That was, that.
Yeah, you just wanted his fingers on your cheek?
That's just like, I want to do that.
Yeah, he's like, I haven't started the mind mode yet, and you're just like, minds are one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, long may your thirsty Ethan Peckery continue.
I feel like this is a big statement. So I want to, with all the gravity that I can muster in this moment, knowing I'm a chaos creature and I have the right to change my mind.
Absolutely.
I actually think, and yes, partly because I'm a little Spock obsessed, I think if someone was to ask the age old question, if you could live in any universe you would to live in, where would you live? And usually I go like, oh, Lord of the Rings could be fun, especially if I was like an elf or something. I think I would go into Star Trek world now.
Yay!
I think it's just so fun.
It's so fun. Put me on a starship. Just do it. It's so much fun.
I would have to be really motivated because space is so scary.
Yes.
And I hope that I would be useful on a starship somehow. I don't know that I maybe would be a Guinan, you know? I think that would be more my vibe. But if anything was to get me on a starship, it would be Picard and Spock.
Right. Imagine them on the same ship. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with you. I've long wanted to be. I had dreams where I woke up and I was on the Enterprise, and I was like, oh, thank goodness I woke up. I'm not in my Earth world. I'm actually in Star Trek. What a relief.
Yeah.
And then there was that one time they merged and I had to fight the Borg out of my childhood home. Anyway. Side notes. Anything else before we move on? Move on to the emails.
No. Are we pipping now or pipping later?
Yeah. Let's do some pips. Pips and predictions, I guess. We got a Klingon episode. I think we did that at the top, didn't we?
Yeah, we definitely talked about it. We hit some this episode for sure.
Yeah.
Pips.
How many pips are you gonna give it?
I think I am gonna give it 4 pips. It was really fun. Nice. Yeah. I really had a good time with this one. And I really enjoyed seeing the people that were left on the Enterprise kind of fill in those leadership roles. That was fun.
Yeah. I'm with you. But I'm giving it a 3.
Yeah. Why are you giving it a 3?
I'm giving it a 3 mainly because of... I think this is gonna sound a bit harsh, but it's still kind of forgettable. Like, I had a really good time.
Okay.
But it was a very inconsequential episode. Like, yes, there's the ongoing arc of Batel and whatnot. But in terms of, like, what was Star Trek trying to say here and what was the philosophical point that they're trying to make, or what is the allegory we're going for, this was a popcorn episode. So it's not gonna get a 4 for me because it's not doing, I think, the deep, deep work that Star Trek does. However, it is an episode I can see myself revisiting, which is such a rarity for me with modern Star Trek. So 3.5. I'd probably say 3.5. Like, I really love this episode. I really did.
Yeah, I'll come down to 3.5 too, because I do think, like, what will I remember? And as we know, it's not much.
you could give it 5 out of 4 and still not remember it, Danae. That's a terrible barometer for grading.
But I like the idea that you think about it. Now, if Batel somehow either becomes the Gorn that Kirk fights Batel's offspring.
I'm not here for that.
Then this episode will become one of those things that podcasts will talk about and be like, well, let's go back to the origin of the Gorn story, and they'll watch these episodes.
Yeah, no, they will. This will be in the Gorn Monster Marathon. It absolutely will. Okay. We've got time for some emails. Where did you want to go to do emails again? I like the observation lounge. Was it the briefing room or the ready room?
I feel like we should just like go to different places every time just to see if maybe it's more interesting.
Okay. Well, let's go to Cargo Bay 2.
Yeah, let's do that.
Energize. Okay, everyone, hailing frequencies open. It's time for us to read your messages from Discord, Twitch, and, well, email. We got an email from Wandering Winder. This actually came a couple of weeks ago, but this is about predictions for the season. So I wanted to get through some predictions for the season. So this is because of the episodic nature. It's hard to make any real predictions, which is fair. But I hope that there will be less relationship drama. This one seems like a real hope, not actually going to happen. And also that we'll get more stories about Una that aren't about her being genetically engineered. I love that. I mean, give me more. Una might be the single most underused character, I think, on the ship now. It was going to be Ortegas, but I do think it's Una now. And also, blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da. Oh, yeah. And Mitchell, the ops officer, who we occasionally get some cutaways to her as well. She was featured more heavily in the first episode of the season. And La'an, which aren't about her being related to Khan or in love with Kirk. I have less and less hopes about both of these. And final prediction, which is sure to be true, the theme song will continue to slap hard.
Hard.
I think you've already lost all of those predictions so far, Wandering. Sorry about that.
Here's mine. This is from Slab in the live chat. This is something to mention is the planet name Ken Forey is a reference to the actor Ken Forey.
Love that.
He is well known for his work in horror zombie movies, most notably Dawn of the Dead, 1978, and the remake Dawn of the Dead, The Devil Rejects, and The X-Files. And that source is from IMDb. How cool is that?
Very cool. Very cool.
Oh, that's so neat. I love that so much.
That's a great, great way to do it, Nod. It really is.
Thank you for sharing that.
So this is an email from Dave, which is a sci-fi brony as well. I really liked this email. This is about Trelane from last week. While it's super clear that this was the intent for the wedding planner to be Trelane, I super disagree with it. Trelane's powers in The Squire of Gothos, which is the original series episode where he appeared, were nowhere near this strong as he needed a machine to help him. And he thought that it was still the 14th century on Earth, which is why he's dressed the way that he is. Even if we take into account that for Trelane, Wedding Bell Blues might be after that. So if his timeline is wonky and things are happening out of order, it seems odd that his father would make no comment, cue, on having to punish him for essentially the same thing twice. I find it much easier to believe that these two are just other members of the cue. It doesn't have to be Trelane. And that would also solve some canon kind of question marks as well. And then I liked the last line, which was, it also makes the universe feel smaller, the fact that the same Enterprise bumped into the same Trelane twice within a decade, even though certain people have no memory of it. Why not just make it a different cue? Yeah, I can't disagree with that. It could just be another cue. The Trelane thing is definitely fan service-y in a way that does get some head scratching. It's that prequelitis issue of wanting to play with the toys of the future, but them not being ready yet.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. I guess I don't mind it as much because if there is a really powerful being and they just kind of get obsessed with that one ship and then just want to go fuck with it, I can kind of see that.
I get happening. That with Q, but with Trelane the second time, they go to him. They go to his planet.
Oh,
by mistake. Okay. They don't know who's going to be there.
Yeah, that's...
But Trelane is
okay.
On a planet.
Yeah.
And the Enterprise arrives.
Yeah. And as far as like a parent not like mentioning another thing, I agree with that. There's a lot of repetition in parenting and you do end up saying, I've told you already more than you ever thought you would.
Could you just remember, please?
This one is another one from CMDR Smith. As I'm sitting here thinking about the Klingons, their hair grows really, really fast, which means Worf in TNG was purposefully maintaining that Bob/Page Boy haircut like weekly.
Great point. That's a great point. He chose that. That was by choice.
Decision.
That's
yeah.
very interesting. Mm-hmm. Love that. I've got two more. There's loads more, but time is a thing. This is one from Emmanuel via email. Hey guys, this is Emmanuel. Glad you guys are back with Strange New Worlds. I enjoyed the episode far more than episode two because it actually had stakes, but still a lot of sins. We're getting deep into some lore. Full disclosure, I haven't read this one yet. So if there's anything sweary in it, here we go. I didn't want to be spoiled on the
episode. You
don't want
to bleep as you go? You don't want to bleep on the fly?
Yeah, do it. Bleep me on the fly.
Bleep.
Worf killed Duros.
Bleep.
But the difference between him and M'Benga is Worf is a Klingon following Klingon lore and killed him on a Klingon ship. Did Worf interfere with Klingon internal affairs? Yes, but under Klingon lore, he had a right to. M'Benga assassinated the ambassador on a Federation ship. Not in self-defense, but because he hated the guy and he had the opportunity to do so. So I think the idea is this really like sacrificing, is any of this justified? Like, is killing M'Benga really going to restore her honor as she really thinks that it does? So yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Let's some semantics in there. Is this just an act of desperation? Or are we, the Klingons are entertaining the actions of humans when it doesn't feel very Klingon to say, okay, you killed that human, you can have your honor back. Like, maybe this is just a desperate swing for her.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
This is a point from Flyboy. There's an awful lot of off-the-book shenanigans in the beginning of this season. Janeway will later point out to Kim that this is the era of the cowboy officers. I loved that reminder because watching Kirk a little bit, not a lot, and then just hearing you guys talk about Kirk and sort of his personality and how often he'll break the rules and things like that, it's fun to look at the predecessor and go, yeah, I can see why. You know, there are...
Yeah, there's precedent for this.
There's more room for loose interpretation of the rules and And they're kind of, I think they need to play around with that to sort of almost, I don't know, maybe they don't need to justify that Kirk was just that way and kept his job long, you know?
Yeah.
Because Kirk kept his job for a really long time.
Oh, he lost his job, got it back, promoted, demoted, promoted. Yeah, a lot of shenanigans.
Yeah, so good memory there. And I think it lends that this show is kind of remembering where it is in the timeline, which is kind of cool.
So last one, this is a big sin that I wanted to include that Wandering Winder sent in. Thank you for your huge list of sins. Klingon lady had to grovel to charter a ship to get here. But how did she know to be here right now at this point in time? Because she said that she has a homing beacon thing that was attached to M'Benga, but she then had to charter a ship. So how long has she been following him? And it's very lucky that she obviously couldn't go into Federation space. So she's just been like, I guess, holding a course along the Forbidden Zone, mm-hmm. hoping that he would eventually come to her. Like,
yeah.
How she tracks him down is,
it's for the honor,
understandably,
of the family.
Glossed over just completely.
It is for the honor of the family. Okay.
Yes. Well, thank you for your emails, everybody. Keep them coming in. Captainspod at cinemasins.com, discord.gg/. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, discord.gg.
Yep, that's
slash
it.
/cinemasins.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. Good game. And feel free to join us in the live show to submit your sins and comments and join our lovely group of people in the live show on Twitch and YouTube. Ambassador, next week's episode, I cannot wait for you to hear the title of this.
Okay.
Next week's episode is A Space Adventure Hour.
A Space Adventure Hour?
A Space Adventure Hour. That is the full title. Let's go. This is going to be a silly one.
It has to be.
Like,
this is going to be something utterly stupid.
Space Adventure Hour.
I mean, swing for the fences. If you're going to invite zombies in, you might as well enter into some portal and turn into hamsters.
Yeah, I'm thinking WandaVision. I'm thinking this is going to go through different eras.
Oh, yeah,
because
it has
TV.
That vibe. Yeah, it has that vibe. Oh, wait, what if they go back to that god planet or the time planet where they just like jump in and then they fuck with something and then they jump out or something?
Portal
like
on the edge of forever, tomorrow, whenever it was.
And they go through and they're like, hello, my baby. You know, they have to like perform on some sort of stage.
Show
or
tunes? Yeah. It's a Broadway.
They do it.
It's all on stage. This entire episode is on stage.
This is it. Yeah. Okay.
No, I get the feeling it's like a TV special feel, like that Adventure Hour thing. Like, I'm thinking maybe it's going to be, I think we'd know if it was an animated episode, but they're going to change the format, is my theory.
I mean, it sounds like the opportunity to do it.
Yeah. Well, we will see you next week for our coverage of that episode. Join us live on Monday. What's the date? Because we're changing months. So Monday the 4th at 12 p.m. Central Time, if you want to watch the live recording of the show. But until then, Ambassador, anything you want to plug before we depart?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm Captain Ian. I love that. Really short plug. This is amazing. I'm Captain Ian, and I have to go annul my fourth marriage.
And it's here's some advice from me: never eat the olives.
Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
Because that's how they were tracked.
That's how he was tracked.
Because he ate the olive.
He ate the olive.
And then it just like got into his intestines and then just was like, this is where I live now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be pooped
out. I'm
going
to track you. Yeah, I'm not going to poop. That's going to be in my bloodstream forever.
It's forever an olive delivery device.
Testy test, 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 test. Dead in the middle of little, 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 do we know that we riddled a middleman who didn't do diddly? It's my mic check.
That was your mic check?
Yeah. Did you like it? Were you impressed?
I was very impressed because it sounded like one of my mic checks. So I feel like I've been, you know, somehow influenced you, but that's actually not true. You've just been this way for a long time.
I mean, absolute fucking gibberish.
What's it?
I said your mic checks are absolute gibberish. I just rapped from, I've forgotten
you
his name.
You did not.
Big
you
puns.
Said, biddle diddle dooba diddle diddle.
Dead in the middle of little, 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 do we know that we riddle to middle?
That is not. No.
Slow
it
down.
No.
Slow it down.
Yeah, you slow it down.
Slow it down.
Go on. You
right
slow
now,
it down.
Ding. Slow it down.
No. I want you to actually go slower.
Dead in the middle. Oh, damn it.
Are you hearing? Am I peeking? Like, you're not even, you don't even have your head. headphones on.
Are you high right now?
Oh, there they are. They're so, okay, they blended in. I'm so sorry. No, I didn't see it. You're wearing a black shirt against a dark background. I did not see
them. I'm wearing a navy blue shirt. I guess.
I recently decided to use the window as a way to get the cat out. So I didn't have to walk to the door to let the cat out. I just opened a window, popped the screen out, and let the cat out. And he has a way to get out safely. It's not like I just dropped him 5 feet to his, you know, on his little paws.
Fair.
He has a very easy route. But I'm wondering if that's why he's coming to me, is he's like, I don't want to go to the door. Come carry me to the window.
Yeah, I don't want to have to jump up.
He doesn't
up
usually
there.
Come say hi.
No, it's not. Anyway. And then he's left. So I think he wants something.
Saw this too. Sarah's trying to take my position, and that's okay.
Oh, I am fun, and I always watch the episodes beforehand, and my name can be Ambassador.
Sounds like a really cool dinosaur, honestly.
It really does, doesn't it? The Ambassador.
The Ambassador.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really get much done. Anyway, moving on. And the part with Joseph having to confront the daughter of the ambassador is exactly what I wanted. The thread of his daughter-to-be getting to see it now just works so great for me. I agree. I kind of would have been happy to leave it ambiguous, but I also like that they resolved.
Somebody got the that you laughed at the Princess Bride situation. So the answer is yes. Ian has finally seen the Princess Bride.
The Princess Bride.
We got to watch it with Aaron.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was my welcome
something?
Back movie night. Yeah.
I think we need to do the Fifth Element next.
Fifth Element,
though.
Yeah.
A little refresher on
love
that one.
We do want to do some movies. Watch-alongs.
Light! Okay, we're going to go over favorite ice cream. If you're still in the chat, feel free to mention your favorite ice cream just because Sarah wants to know.
Yeah.
Mine, I had a pecan praline ice cream when I was pregnant with Iris. I remembered being told that when you're pregnant, sometimes your body just decides that it's different and you're suddenly not allergic to things that you were once allergic to, or your hair curls when it's usually straight, just like something about you shifts and changes. And so I decided to risk it since I get really bad tummy aches from ice cream. And I went and I got some Brahms, like I think it was a pecan praline. I didn't know what, I was like, well, that sounds yummy. And it was so good. And I just waited, like hoping that I didn't just hurt myself, and it didn't hurt. And then I got another bowl of ice cream the next week, and I was like, oh my God, I get to eat ice cream. And it was so yummy. And then I went into labor. So
it was right at the end of the pregnancy. Oh no.
I forgot about the thing to try out until right before I had Iris.
You got a couple of good bowls. Yeah, I'm definitely a strawberry man. I really like that Andy's one that's like, there's the strawberry core that's in the middle of it. And what's the concrete thing that you have over here? Is it an ice cream concrete?
Yeah.
That's friggin' delicious.
Well, the place you're talking about does frozen yogurt.
Oh.
Like a froyo, which is different from ice cream.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I don't really like ice cream. I don't. I'm not a fan of it. Rocky Road's fine. Yeah, I mean, just chocolate. I'm not a big fan of chocolate either.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah, Andy's frozen custard's
Give me
yummy.
Frozen custard. Yeah, frozen custard is the stuff. That's me. Oh, I remember that. That was the Klingon he had to choose to kill. Yeah, that was last season, and we weren't too sure. That was like a Klingon ambassador or something
like
that.
Was he off that week?
I can't remember, possibly.
Because I don't remember that at all.
It was left ambiguous as to whether M'Benga killed him or not, because he was like a tyrant that had killed a tons of people. But now he was just like, I have a new way, which is peace. And it kind of happens behind a frosted screen.
I saw that.
Yeah. And we don't know if M'Benga killed him. It's implied that he did, and we're just meant to be okay with that.
Maybe just put him in the cryosleep with him.
I mean, his daughter isn't there anymore. She's now a space being, but yeah, that is an option.
So there's room for him.
Shit, this means I have to do research. Fuck.
Ooh. Oh, what is that? What? It's a zombie!
Zombies? It is The Last of Us.
Oh, they're eating him.
Oh, fuck. Jesus.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.